jina Margaret Aġus, insemmi l-kom nil-għakom għal-program liħor il-ħrijef, l-erf u l-maġija. U l-lum, id-deċidejt li noħodkom f-kultura remota, mux biss ġeografikament, izda wkoll konċettwalment, fejt id-dum tistħarreġ mux ħażin biex tibda tifhem xi ħaġa. Għaliex kif rajna il-ħrejjef dejjem jiżvelaw ħafna u ħafna dettalji dwar il-kultura. U se nitkellmu dwar dik Ġappuniża. U trid serja sħiħa ta' programmi biex teżamina l-għaliex ta' dak kollu. Nibda biss biex ngħid illi jekk dawk il-ħrejjef li trattajna sissa kienu jesponu dak li hu tajjeb, dawk Ġappuniżi huma aktar preokkupati b'sbuħija. Għalhekk flok jittrattaw il-lat etiku, jitkellmu aktar fuq dak estetiku. U biex taraw kemm din il-kultura hija mbeda minn din tagħna, irnexxiel insib ħrafa minn Medjuevu fejn tifla tiġi imrobbija bħala tifel u t-tifel bil-kontra u jiżżewġu u r-raġel jaħseb li hu l-mara u l-mara iġib ruħha ta' raġel. X'tgħidilhom? Dawn in-nies avvanzati? Jew differenti, ma nafx naqbad ngħid. Kultant aħna għandna t-tendenza li nħossuna superjuri fuq in-nies tal-lvant, jiena ngħid li għandna ħafna x'nitgħallmu minnhom. Billi llum mażilt ħrafa partikolari dwar il-Mikado u d-Dragun Re u l-invażjoni tal-Korea, għażilt li nitkellmu daqsxejn fuq hekk qabel ma naqralkom il-ħrafa li fil-fatt jisima The Tide Jewels. Mela nibdew l-ewwel biex nitkellmu daqsxejn b'mod ġenerali dwar il-ħrejjef Ġappuniżi. Il-ħrafa fil-Ġappun hija magħrufa bħala Mukashi Banashi li tfisser stejjer ta' żminilu. Infatti ħafna ħrejjef jibdew bil-kelma Mukashi u jispiċċaw Dotto Harai. Ħafna minn dawn il-ħrejjef kienu jiġu rrakkontati bidjalett. Illum il-ġurnata il-ħrejjef klassiċi bħal Momotaro illum insibuhom fl-istejjer tal-manga. Minn fejn incidentalment ġibt din il-mużika tal-ftuħ u l-eluq, mużika ferm sabiħa. Il-volpi u l-kelb huma annimali favoriti fil-ħrejjef Ġappuniżi u kapaċi jittrasformaw ruħhom fi bniedem jew oġġett. Iż-żwieġ bejn dawk li huma umani u dawk li mhumiex hija tema komuni ħafna. Għalhekk issib ukoll l-arusa, pereżempju, li tiżżewweġ lill-bebbuxu ta' xmara, fi ħrafa jisima Tanishi Choya. Hemm ħafna referenzi għal mostri li werru pad-dragun tal-Underworld li jissemma fil-ħrafa li għandna lilkom illum The Tide Jewels. Issa dan id-dragun għandu l-isem ta' Ryujin jew Owa ta' Tsumi. Li huwa wkoll l-alla tal-baħar u jgħix ġo Ryu Jojo, il-palazz li jgħix fih ġo l-baħar, li huwa magħmul minn koralli ħomru bojot minn fejn jikkontrolla l-mili u t-tifrieħ tal-baħar li l-Ingliżi jirreferu għalih bħala The Tide. U hu d-dragun jikkontrolla din it-tide bil-ġojelli mhux taf xejn ir-rafa jisima The Tide Jewels. Issa dan id-dragun jiġi l-buznannu tal-imperatur Jimnu, l-ewwel imperatur tal-Ġappun. Permezz tal-ħrejjef jinkixef ukoll twemmin fl-ħirsa, id-demonji u l-ispirti. Din titwaħħad mar-reliġjon, il-mitoloġija u s-superstizzjoni. Il-Ġappuniżi jemnu li huma mdawrin kontinwament bl-ispirti. Jemnu wkoll illi meta bniedem imut l-ispirtu tiegħu huwa irrabjat u impur. Għalhekk jekk ma jkunx hemm talb da jista' jidhirlek. Mhux taf xejn illi din hija tema ta' ħafna mill-ħrejjef. Sakienu jaħsbu li dan l-ispirti setgħu jikkawżaw għarar, epidemji u l-ġuħ. U fl-era tal-Kakamura kienu jemnu illi dawn l-ispirti kienu jinbidlu f'rakums jew volpi. U daw kienu iqarqu bil-bniedem. Sal-oġġetti antiki, sramba ħafna din, setgħu jinbidlu fallat u għalhekk kienu jiġu rispettati. Imbagħad aktar tard bejn l-1603 u l-1818 kienu jemmnu li min imut b'epidemija jew marda kien jinbidel f'xitan. In-nisa kienu jiġu rappreżentati bħala spirti li jġibu sfortuna. U aktar ma tkun batiet din il-mara f'ħajjitha iktar kienet tkun vendikattiva. Għalhekk f'ħafna ħrejjef Ġappuniżi nsibu ħafna krudeltà lejn in-nisa. Id-demonji fil-kultura Ġappuniża jistgħu jagħmlu wkoll il-ġid u jgħixu bejn din id-dinja u l-oħra u jistgħu jaffettwaw lill-fenomeni naturali. Id-demonji Ġappuniżi għandhom ukoll sens tal-umorizmu. Insibu wkoll kreaturi li jsejħu loni annimali bil-qrun bil-ġilt ta' tigra. Hemm loni il-ħżiena li ħafna drabi kienu nisa jew it-tajbin li kienu patrijiet buddisti. Hemm ukoll id-demonji tal-muntanja li kultant jinbidlu fid-bnedmin koroħ li maż-żmien saru kemm kreaturi tajbin jew kultant ħżiena li qarqu bik. Se nagħtu ħarsa issa lejn min kienu dawn il-mikados li dwarhom titratta l-ħrafa tal-lum the Tide Jewels. Daw kienu fil-fatt imperaturi u kienu jgħixu ġo vilel jew kunventi, insomma, palazzi. Kienu jeżistu wkoll mikados nisa kif se naraw fil-ħrafa tal-lum, bħal l-imperatriċi Kojyoku li għexet fis-645. Għalkemm l-irġiel dew jiġu preferuti għaliex in-nisa kienu spiss jabdikaw minħabba pressjonijiet varji. Kien hemm fil-fatt żmien meta n-nisa ma kienux jitħallew isiru mikado. Infatti, fis-700 sena u 700 l-imperatriċi Shotoku kienet l-aħħar waħda mid-dinastija tal-imperaturi nisa. Sa dan it-tant kull ma kienu laħqu imperaturi kienu xi 11 mara. Imbagħad fil-perjodu li kien jissejjaħ Tokugawa millenju wara għall-bidu kienu jitħallew biss isiru imperaturi dawk in-nisa li kienu jormlu minn imperatur u kienu jissejħu Nakatsusi, eredi tranzizzjonali. Imbagħad ma' żmien reġgħu bdew jiġu aċċettati. U kif jagħmlu il-Prim Ministri llum dak iż-żmien ukoll kienu jdaħlu jaħdmu magħhom il-klan tagħhom. Kien hemm imperaturi li tant kellhom moħħhom miftuħ illi ma baqgħux jiddependu biss fuq in-nobiltà bħala dawk li kienu jgħinuhom jiggvernaw, iżda dawk ukoll li kienu ġejjin minn tribujiet minuri u nies ta' klassijiet medji bħal fir-renju ta' Zhou Sanzhou fl-1069. Sakemm maż-żmien inħoloq kunsill rappreżentattiv, però wieħed jiftakar li dawn il-mikado kienu perikolużi. Għaliex il-poter tagħhom kien assolut. Tant li setgħu jagħmlu li jridu kemm bis-sudditi tagħhom kif ukoll bl-artijiet li kellhom. U kienu jħobbu jiġdu lehom mhux ħażin, kellhom artijiet, palazzi u ġid kemm iridu. U l-liġijiet kienu jaqgħu taħt il-ġurisdizzjoni tagħhom. Biss ukoll jekk kellhom il-kunsilli, kemm forsi wieħed jaħseb li kellhom poter is-samuraj. Però daw kienu biss gwerriera. U kienu hemm biss biex iservu l-imperatur. Shirakawa li għex fi żminijiet tan-nofs kien wieħed minn dawn il-mikado li l-poter li kien jeżerċita ma kienx jaf limiti. Isimgħu daqsxejn kemm kien kapriċuż dan il-mikado. Se tisimgħu silta mill-ktieb The Cambridge History of Japan Volume 2. Enough documents survive to confirm that Shirakawa was a dominating figure dedicated to the pursuit of the good life, that he lavished favors on the Buddhist establishment and reacted with strong personal likes and dislikes to persons and incidents. It seems that his temper flared frequently and that he did not forgive easily. According to a famous story from the Kojidan, on one occasion, when there was to be a dedication ceremony for his private temple, the Hoshoji, it rained hard and the ceremony had to be postponed. The next day it was again postponed due to rain, then the third day, and finally a fourth day. The irate Shirakawa became so upset he ordered the rain to be collected in a vessel and thrown into prison. Kif edin taraw emmek, l-ġir ta' dan l-imperatur kien kważi-kważi tista' tgħid assurd. Tistgħu timmaġinaw kif kien jisma' lil-sudditi tiegħu meta jgħadbuh. Da kienet baqalu l-istess poteru kol meta zarma minn imperatur. Waraw kif id-dinja id-dur id-dur ma tantx jinbidlu l-affarijiet. Mela dan xirakawa kien joffri unuri u pożizzjonijiet għolja lil kull min kien jagħti kontribuzzjonijiet biex jibnew binijiet pubbliċi u min kien jikkontribwixxi għaċ-ċerimonji nazzjonali. U jekk l-imperatur taqablu Zhou Sanzhou skuraġġija Shirakawa inkoraġġihom dawn il-kontribuzzjonijiet. F'kelma waħda, is-Sinjur minn dejjem irrenja u mhux taf xejn kienu jintlew bl-unuri. Fl-1129 toba li wiret kull maħalla nannuh Shirakawa fittex ħa taħt idejh dan il-ġid kollu u għalkemm biddel il-mod kif kien jaġixxi nannuh, iżda essenzjalment ma tantx kienu nbidlu l-affarijiet. U kif jgħid il-ktieb, to be initially dismissed, a number of retainers, who had been especially loyal to Shirakawa, replacing them with men loyal to himself. This is typical of almost any authoritarian ruler who attempts to impose personal control over the political scene. Interessanti meta nħarsu lura lejn l-istorja u naraw kemm tgħallimna ftit li xejn mill-istorja. Jekk titkellem ma' Korean jew Ġappuniż illum, tħoss it-tensjoni. Fil-fatt jien li kont nagħlem l-Ingliż kont inħossa ħafna dit-tensjoni meta fl-istess klassi kien ikolli kemm Ġappuniżi u kemm Koreani. Iżda meta tkellimhom wieħedhom tinduna kemm il-Ġappuniżi jħossuhom superjuri u kemm il-Koreani għadhom iħossuhom il-ġrieħi tal-passat. Issa jingħad ukoll li l-linja imperjali Ġappuniża ġejja minn prinċipessa Koreana. Min-naħa l-oħra, il-Ġappuniżi rakkontaw illi l-imperatriċi Ġappuniża Jingu invadiet il-Korea u hemmhekk weldet l-imperatur li kien jiġi meqjum bħala Hashemman l-alla tal-gwerra. U fil-fatt, il-ħrafa tal-lum, the Taijus, hija propju fuq din l-imperatriċi Ġappuniża Jingu. U din il-gwerra kontinwa li kienet teżisti mill-libad żminijiet, hemm tal-anqas qbil bejn iż-żewġ pajjiżi illi l-Ġappuniżi fis-sena 662 kienu bagħtu rinforzi biex jgħinu lir-re Korean ta' Paxke kontra l-edewwa ta' reġjonijiet Kojuryo u Silla. Il-Mongoli ta' Kubilai Khan invadew il-Korea u rebħuha u mbagħad tefa' għajnejhom fuq il-Ġappun. Hawnhekk il-Koreani daħlu fil-basla bla ma riedu. Iżda samuraj tant kienu b'saħħithom illi l-Mongoli ma rnexxilhomx jokkupaw il-Ġappun għalkemm kienu koll it-temp li bidlilhom u tellifhom il-gwerra. Fl-14-il seklu l-pirati Ġappuniżi magħrufin bħala Wako kienu spiss jattakkaw lill-Koreani. Fis-16-il seklu l-Ġappun attakka l-Korea bl-iskuża tal-unifikazzjoni u l-Koreani wara gwerra ta' 7 snin raw il-ħajja soċjali, politika u ekonomika Koreana tiġi mfarka. U l-Korea rebħet bl-għajnuna taċ-Ċiniżi wara 7 snin ġlied. Fit-tmiem is-19-il seklu l-Amerikani u l-Franċiżi ippruvaw jippenetraw il-Korea, iżda l-Koreani żammewhom milli jagħmlu hekk. Finalment kienu l-Ġappuniżi li rnexxilhom jippenetraw. Fis-27 ta' frar 1976 il-Ġappun bil-forza għamel trattat mar-re tal-Korea fejn fetaħ it-triq għal negozjar ekonomiku u l-Ġappuniżi kienu jittrattaw il-Korea daqs li kienet tagħhom. Din fetħet it-triq għal negozjar ġdid mal-Istati Uniti, l-Ġermanja u l-Gran Brittanja. Il-Koreani ħassewhom qed jinbiegħu iżda ma setgħu jagħmlu xejn dwarha. Sakemm fl-1910 ir-re Korean abdika u tal il-pajjiż lill-Ġappuniżi. Din l-aħbar intlaqat bi protesti kbar u l-Ġappuniżi spiċċaw qatlu ma' 7,500 Korean. Din l-okkupazzjoni spiċċat mat-tieni gwerra dinjija. Mhux taf xejn l-rafa tal-lum titkellem propju fuq hekk dwar l-okkupazzjoni tal-Ġappuniżi mill-Korea. Sa taraw kemm jinħass dan it-temperament gwerrier u imperialista Ġappuniż ukoll sempliċi ħrafa, mela tix nisimgħuha. The Thai Jewels. Thank you. The Empress of Japan, wife of the 14th Mikado, was named Yingu, or godlike exploit. She was a wise and discreet lady and assisted her husband to govern his dominions. When the Mikado marched his army against the rebels, the Empress went with him and lived in the camp. One night, as she lay asleep in her tent, she dreamed that a heavenly being appeared to her and told her of a wonderful land in the west, full of gold, silver, jewels, silks, and precious stones. The heavenly messenger told her if she would invade this country, she would succeed, and all its spoil would be hers for herself and Japan.
"Conquer Korea," said the radiant being, as she floated away on a purple cloud.
In the morning, the Empress told her husband of her dream, and advised him to set out to invade the rich land. But he paid no attention to her. When she insisted, in order to satisfy her, he climbed up a high mountain, and looking far away towards the setting sun, saw no land thither, not even mountain peaks. So believing that there was no country in that direction, he descended, and refused to set out on the expedition. Shortly after, in a battle with the rebels, the Mikado was shot dead with an arrow. The generals and captains of the host then declared their loyalty to the Empress as the sole ruler of Japan. She, now having the power, resolved to carry out her darling plan of invading Korea. She called upon all the spirits of the mountains, rivers, and plains to give her their advice and help. Then the fairy of the mountains obeyed and gave her timber and iron for her ships. The fairy of the fields presented rice and grain for provisions. The fairy of the grasses gave her hemp for cordage. The wind god promised to open his bag and let out his breezes to fill her sails towards Korea. All appeared except Izora, the spirit of the seashore. Again she called for him and sat up waiting all night with torches burning, invoking him to appear. Now Izora was a lazy fellow, always slovenly and ill-dressed, and when at last he did come, instead of appearing in state, in splendid robes, he rose right out of the sea bottom, covered with mud and slime, with shells sticking all over him and seaweed clinging to his hair. He gruffly asked what the Empress wanted.
"Go down to the underworld and beg His Majesty, the Dragon King, to give me the 2 tied jewels," she replied.
Now, among the treasures in the palace of the Dragon King of the world under the sea were 2 jewels having wondrous power over the ebbing and the flowing tides. They were about as large as apples, but shaped like apricots, with 3 rings cut near the top. They seemed to be of crystal and glistened and shot out dazzling rays like fire. Indeed, they appeared to seethe and glow like the eye of a dragon, or the white-hot steel of the sword forger. One was called the Jewel of the Flood Tide, and the other the Jewel of the Ebb Tide. Whoever owned them had the power to make the tides instantly rise or fall at his word, to make the dry land appear, or the sea overwhelm it, in the flip of a finger. Izora dived with a dreadful splash down, down to the underworld, and straightway presented himself before the Dragon King. In the name of the Empress, he begged for the 2 tied jewels. The Dragon King granted his request. Producing the flaming globes from his casket, he placed them on a huge shell and handed them to Izora, who brought the jewels to Yingu. She at once placed them in her girdle. The Empress now prepared her fleet for the Korean invasion. 3,000 barges were built and launched. This mighty fleet sailed for Korea in the 10th month. The hills of Japan soon began to sink below the horizon, but no sooner were they out of sight of land than a great storm arose. The ships tossed about and began to butt each other like bulls.
and it seemed as though the fleet would be driven back, when lo, the Dragon King sent shoals of huge sea monsters and immense fishes that bore up the ships and pushed their sterns forward with their great snouts. The dragon fishes, taking the ship's cables in their mouths, towed them forward until the storm ceased and the ocean was calm. They then plunged downward into the sea and disappeared. The mountains of Korea now rose into view, but the army was not to be suffered to land unmolested. Korean spies had informed their king so that he made ready. Along the shore were gathered the entire Korean army. Their triangular fringed banners, inscribed with dragons, flapped in the breeze. As soon as their sentinels caught sight of the Japanese fleet, the signals were given, and the Korean line of war galleys moved gaily out to attack the Japanese. The Empress posted her archers and the bows of her ships and waited for the enemy to approach. When they were within a few hundred sword lengths, she took from her girdle the jewels of the ebbing tide and cast the flashing gems into the sea. It blazed in the air for a moment, but no sooner did it touch the water than instantly the ocean receded from under the Korean vessels and left them stranded on dry land. The Koreans, thinking it was a tidal wave and that the Japanese ships were likewise helpless in the undertow, leaped out of their galleys and rushed over the sand and onto the attack. With shouting and drawn swords, their aspect was terrible. When within range of the arrows, the Japanese bowmen opened volleys of double-headed or triple-pronged arrows on the Koreans and killed hundreds. But on they rushed, until near the Japanese ships, when the Empress, taking out the flood-tide jewel, cast it in the sea. In the snap of a finger, the ocean rolled up into a wave many tens of feet high and engulfed the Korean army, drowning them almost to a man. Only a few were left out of the 10,000. The warriors, their iron armor, sank like lead in the boiling waves. The Japanese army landed safely and easily conquered the country. The King of Korea surrendered and gave his bales of silk, jewels, mirrors, books, pictures, robes, tiger skins, and treasures of gold and silver to the Empress. The booty was loaded on 80 ships, and the Japanese army returned in triumph to their native country. But the Tide jewels had, of course, sunk into the sea when the Empress threw them there. Izora seized them at once and returned them to his master. Soon after her arrival at home, a son was born to the Empress, Yingu, whom she named Ojin. He was one of the fairest children ever born of an imperial mother, and was very wise and wonderful, even when an infant. As he grew up, he was full of the spirit of unconquerable Japan. The Empress wished the little Ojin to live long, be wise and powerful, become a mighty warrior, be invulnerable in battle, and to have control over the tides and the ocean as his mother once had. To do this, it was necessary to get back the tide jewels. So the Prime Minister took Ojin on his shoulders, mounted the imperial war barge, whose sails were of gold embroidered silk, and bade his rowers put out to sea. Then, standing upright on the deck, he called on the Dragon King, "Come out of the deep and give back the jewels." At first there was no sign from the waves. The green sea lay glassy in the sunlight, and the water laughed and curled above the sides of the boat. Still the Prime Minister listened intently and waited reverently. He was not long in suspense. Looking down, far under the sparkling waves, he saw the head and fiery eyes of a dragon mounting upward. Instinctively, he clutched his robe with his right hand and held Ojin tightly on his shoulder. For this time, it was not Izora, but the terrible Dragon King himself who was coming. What a great honor! The Sea King's servant, Izora, had appeared to the Empress Yingu, but the Dragon King deigned to come in person to her son. The waters opened, the waves rolled up, curled, rolled into reeds and hooks and drops of foam, which flecked the dark green curves with silvery bells. First appeared a living dragon with fire-darting eyes. The Dragon King spoke, saying, "Quick, take this casket. I deign not to remain long in this upper world of mortals. With these I endow the imperial prince of the heavenly line of the Mikados of the divine country. He shall be invulnerable in battle. He shall have long life. To him I give power over sea and land. Of this my promise. Let these tide jewels be the token. Hardly were the words uttered when the Dragon King disappeared with a tremendous splash. The Prime Minister, standing erect but breathless amid the crowd of rowers, who crouching at the boat's bottom had not dared so much as to lift up their noses, waited a moment, and then gave the command to turn the prow to the shore. It came about just as the Sea King had said, Orjin grew up and became a great warrior, invincible in battle and powerful in peace. He lived to be 111 years old and was one of the most famous princes who ever sat upon the throne beneath the sunlit banner of Japan.
Nittama li l-program li kelli għalikom il-lum ħeġġiċkom biex tkomplu taqraw dwar din kultura tal-Orient u tiskopru aktar u aktar ħrejjef kif wara kollox se nagħmlu fil-program li jmiss dwar il-ħrejjef Awstraljani u biex nagħmlu dan irridu nikkonċentraw fuq l-aborigini. Se niskopru ħrejjef li għandhom għal 50,000 sena xhieda ta' dan huma l-fdalijiet li nstabu u tpinġiet fuq il-blat. Ħrejjef li saħru biżbuħija tan-natura fl-aqwa tagħha. Niskopru x'kien dan id-dream time għall-aborigini min huma l-banjib u l-jawi. Ta' kollu fil-programm li jmiss il-ħrejjef l-erf u l-maġija. Jiena Magda Juice insemmilkom.